Hello again, this is David Deep of Comic Book Daily, here today with Ramon Perez, artist and writer of the webcomics Cuckoo Brewery and Butternut Squash, and the artist of an upcoming graphic novel from Dark Horse, based on the Green River Killings. It's great to have you here with us today, Ramon.
Oh, it's great to be here, man. Thanks, Dave.
All right, so first things first, how did you make your break into the comic book industry?
Oh, that was a long climb, actually. I've been a freelance artist for about... Oh, it must be 10 years now, 13 years, and I've always been trying to edge my way into comics. It's my first love, but, you know, being in the right place at the right time, and I always seem to be getting positive feedback from everybody I talk to. Various editors and other artists are always, you know, looking at my portfolio and going, oh, you should be working, and I'm like, great, when does that happen? And so my career took a tangent in the beginning. I went into role-playing game work and children's books, magazine work, editorial stuff for newspapers. And so I really kind of just got a chance to fine-tune my abilities a lot before I actually finally made it into comics. And that kind of happened as a fluke. My first connection came when I worked on inking The Incredibles for Dark Horse Comics. The movie adaptation. Basically, I was called by the artist who was also a storyboarder on the movie, and I went to school with his wife, and he always liked me. Yeah,
I met him that way.
Yeah, and he always liked my inking work, and they were having trouble finding an inker that he was satisfied with on to work over his pencils, and so he suggested me, and I made contact with the Dark Horse. Made contact with me, and that kind of just evolved a relationship there, and then. Having that under my belt, going to conventions, meeting people, and, you know, and networking, and, you know, as much, that's when I kind of began to learn. It was, you know, it's your portfolio, but it's also the social networking you do on your show. It's going to the bar, having a round of drinks, you know, with a few editors, or, you know, hanging out with other artists, other writers, and I just slowly began to develop relationships over the years, and just slowly work began to funnel towards me, and, you know, it's been a slow climb, but I'm kind of happy that way, because rather than all my bad art's kind of hidden in my past. And so the more, you know, my abilities were a bit more fine-tuned when I entered the scene. And I'm pretty happy with most of the stuff I worked on. So in that respect.
That's right. You've done some work for Marvel and DC now. You did the JSA Classified issues.
I did, yeah.
The War of King ones.
Yeah, Marvel, yeah. There. Yeah, I did that was a quick, especially an online thing. I guess they published it recently. And... I also did some inking on NYX over Kalman Andrzejewski.
Yep. Are there any titles over there you'd like to work on as like kind of like the regular run artist?
I don't know. I've never really thought about that. I always have a fascination with obscure characters or, you know, old quirky characters. And like with Marvel, for example, I would love to work on Mr. Miracle and Big Barda of all characters. You know, like everybody probably be clamoring for Spider-Man. I'd be happy with Mr. Miracle. At DC, probably, you know, I think there's always a little bit of part of me that always wants to work on Batman. I grew up with the character, and, you know, more so the TV show Batman, so it's
kind of the old Adam West?
Yeah, which is a far cry from the current comic book version of Batman.
Are you sure you just don't want to draw Batman doing the Bat-Tootsie?
That would be pretty awesome, actually. I'm going to be attending a con in France later this fall. And the request from the convention was to illustrate a Batman piece that they could sell as a print. And part of me just wants to draw Adam West sitting in a lounge chair with like the bat costume hanging on a coat rack behind him. Yeah, but I don't know if they'd go for that.
Is this also the one you're going in addition to the one in Poland, I believe?
Yes, yeah. I'm going to be doing about, I haven't really counted yet, but probably about 8 or 10 shows. All in Europe. There'll be two in the UK, one in London, one in Leeds. Thought Bubble is one, and the other one is I can't remember offhand. It's more of a kind of an expo that lasts a few weeks. I think it's called Comica.
Right.
Yeah.
And just for future reference, just in case you ever have to answer this question again. Mr. Miracle and Big Bird are DC characters, actually, not Marvel ones.
Oh, geez, yeah. Well, yeah, sorry. I'm in a long, long week of late nights, but yeah, so, yeah.
Getting those deadlines?
Yeah, too many deadlines. My brain's not working right, yeah. I think for Marvel, it'll probably be just X-Men. I love team dynamics.
They're like the big teams from Marvel, like the biggest group of guys. They've got the
Yeah, Yeah, go ahead. Or, them, or I think Alpha Flight would be another. The Canadian side of me would want to kind of go.
Alpha
go
Flight, in. The underdogs.
Yeah, I'd want to go in there and kind of do it right. You know what I mean? Because Alpha Flight's gotten the shaft for so many years on their book. You know, it's just like, I'm like, come on.
Just because you showed up in the Avengers just to, all be killed.
Yeah, exactly. During the big crossover, wasn't it? And I'm like, come on. These guys have gotten the short end of the stick for so long. Let's give them some love for a change.
I guess, except for Wolverine, we've got nothing good to come out of Canada and Marvel.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty sure the LCAs is just nothing but pine trees.
Yeah, this is a big forest up here. We got nothing much else. Polar bears roaming the streets of Toronto.
And some maple syrup vendors all over the place.
Pretty much, yeah. It's just funny. Yeah, so yeah, sorry, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Mr. Miracle is DC, so he'd be my first go. At DC, and probably any of the fourth world characters, like Forever People or
the Kirby stuff, pretty much.
The New Gods. Yeah, I'd love to do that kind of stuff. His character designs were phenomenal and just kind of quirky, and the fact that Death is a guy on skis. I mean, really, that's kind of peculiar.
The Black Racer.
Yeah, if you can make it work, I mean, come on, that's brilliant.
As mentioned on your website, one of your webcomics, Butternut Squash, which actually recently returned from hiatus, has joined Kukuburi as part of the Transmission X project stuff. How'd you get involved with those guys?
To be honest, I've been involved since the beginning. I was one of the, if you want to call it, founding members. I just came in late because I was busy designing all the web interfaces, so my time was taken up building the site and helping with the behind-the-scenes work, so my own project ended up falling behind, so I ended up being launched with their second wave.
Ah, that explains why they actually consider you the second wave on their site.
Yeah, so it's. But I've actually been there since day one. Like, it's interesting too because one of the guys who just joined TX, Eric Kim, who came with Stretta, which premiered on September 9th, he was actually a founding member too, but due to obligations and work, he had to kind of
step back.
So it's kind of funny, like the core launch of people, maybe I think Andy Belanger and Arthur De La Cruz were part of the original crew, and like guys like Carl Kershaw and Cameron Stewart came in afterwards, but they were there for the beginning, so it's kind of like it's kind of an interesting little backstory. But
how'd you guys actually start the crew?
It was one day kind of sitting down with myself and Eric Kim and Calvin Andrusovsky, who hasn't done anything with TX but hopes to one day. We were sitting around a coffee and just kind of bantering about trying to do something for, have an avenue to showcase our stories. Like, and the actual original inception was the idea of doing a magazine, like an anthology magazine, kind of bringing back the old school, kind of creepy and eeries, that kind of format where you had like short stories in them and stuff like that. And as we did research, we were like, "Whoa, there's a lot of overhead there, and marketing and advertising." And then slowly the gears began to turn, and Eric Kim actually decided to kind of take it as a web initiative. And so then he collected myself and Calman again, and Andy Belanger and Arthur De La Cruz, and then guys like Scott Hepburn joined up, and we a lot of us share a studio in Toronto here too, so we're creating and doing all this stuff. And then you have guys like Cameron who are in the studio who kind of look over and go, "Hey, what are you guys doing over there?" And he's like, "Hey, I got some ideas of my own. So then the group grows, because it's just like the artists in Toronto are very much a social network. So then you have Carl Kershaw, who joined our studio, saw the energy happening with that, and we're like, come on board, and it just kind of organically grew as you see another guy across the table from you creating something unique that's his own, and it kind of inspires you to do your own thing. So I think it was kind of infectious, really. We have, like I said, 5 of us share a studio here, but we also have lunch every week with about 4 or 5 other artists from Toronto and creators who, also, became inspired. We're like, "Hey, do you mind if we come in on board on that?" And so it was pretty much a group of friends kind of just coming together and finding a way to kind of have some place to tell their own stories.
So, like, do you guys see yourself growing to a massive studio of like 100 people one day?
I hope not. I think we're looking at keeping it relatively small. Like right now, we're like 5 people in the studio, and Cameron and Carl have moved to a separate studio now in Montreal. and a couple of the other guys work out of their house. But I think we probably see ourselves as kind of, you know, maybe I think the TX, I can't see it. I think we're trying to keep it like more comfortable and small. We don't want people to get lost in a sea of creators. So I can't see it maybe eventually maybe going larger than 15 or 20 creators at a time. You know, there will always be a turnaround as well. Like one or two might stop their projects because the story finishes, and a couple of new fresh faces might come in and lend their visions. You know, and then you know maybe those creators who then finish their stories might come back and do some other new creative ventures. So yeah, I think we're gonna try to keep it small. Like nothing like kind of if you go like for example Keen Spot or these other web collectives that have hundreds upon hundreds of comics. I don't think we want to go that route. We just want to keep it fairly, you know, tight. People we know, friends for the most part, you know. That way everybody knows everybody. It kind of has a very family kind of community vibe to it.
Going back to Butternut Squash, why did it take so long for it to get onto the Transmission X site?
Well, originally we were part of the Day 3 Collective when we first started. And technically we were still part of them up until about 2 months ago. And I think for a while I didn't want to automatically assume that I would bring that project over.
Right.
So it had a life of its own. It was very separate. I didn't want people to, you know, I wanted to keep Kookaburra kind of separate too. It was aimed at a different audience. And when we took the hiatus with Butternut and we did a lot of touring with TX in the summers trying to, you know, promote the individual creators and stuff like that, it became difficult to promote Butternut as a separate entity. So it was a logical choice in the beginning, but you know, I think I just delayed it for, you know, probably just silly reasons, and eventually I was just like, you know, it makes perfect sense to bring it over. You know, everybody knows Rob, like Rob, who I do Butternut Squash with. Everybody knows him; he's friends with everybody else as well, so it's a natural fit. You know, we've been part of the Day 3 Collective, like I said, for ages, but we never actually showed with them at shows. They usually have their own tables and stuff like that, but for some reason, we just never kind of gelled with that group. And they're all great guys, but we just never kind of connected.
You just went at the cool table, I guess.
I think we were at the little. They were at the big table. We were at the little kitty table at the corner. But I think it just comes. It was just a natural migration. And, you know, I think it just took a lot longer than it should have. But I think with the practically a year's break in between where Butternut took a year off, it was just a natural way to get there. So it was like now is the perfect time kind of thing.
How does the scripting between yourself and Rob work actually? Because you're mainly on the art duties. Do you do the writing as well with him?
Yeah, we both write. I maybe plot a little bit more. I'll think of the like overarching kind of story elements and stuff like that. But we kind of just sit down. We have our ideas. He has his ideas. I have my ideas. We just kind of sit and kind of just banter about them and shoot them off each other. And we'll, you know, if Rob has an idea, I'll be like, oh, that's fantastic. Let's go with it.
No.
You know, and if we make each other laugh or something, we're like, okay, that's gold. Let's file that one away. And then there's like, you know, if I put something forward and he'll be like, oh, that's a stupid idea. And I'll be like, all right. So we're a good sounding board for each other. We have very similar senses of humor. And if we, you know, if one of our ideas makes the other guy laugh, we you know, it's a good, you know, way to go. And if the other one falls on deaf ears, you're like, all right, okay, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. Or maybe, you know, I have an idea that's maybe kind of mediocre. And then by him coming in, he punches it up a few levels, you know, or vice versa. So it's a very cool dynamic. It's, you know, very, very smooth sometimes, but other times it can be butting heads as, you know, you try to force your ideas in there. But it actually makes, I think, for better material in the end because we're like each other's editors, constantly kind of keeping each other on our respective toes.
So it's very fine-tuned, the writing afterwards, the final product.
Yeah, so yeah, it's basically we sit down, we knock out the ideas, very rough, and then I take them and I go plot them out and paste them out and draw them, and then we go back to the drawing board and actually go in and script them. They're never scripted beforehand. It's almost like doing it the old Marvel way, where we have a rough idea, but we know the punchline, we know the vague steps to the punchline.
Right.
And then once it's drawn out, we go back in as writers then and sit down and we go through and script it properly.
So now that it's officially back, can you give us any idea on what you and Rob have in store for us?
Well, right now we're just we're going to use the remainder of the year to wrap up old storylines, and because obviously there's a bunch of things left hanging when we went off the air last year around this time. So we're just going to try to wrap relationships up, and then we're hoping in the new year to go to 3 times a week. We really want to make a push to take Butternut to where it should have been ages ago, but we just never had the time or the, you know, the ability to do it or take it to that next level. So we really want to kind of, you know, make it more, because you know, you could develop more stories and punchlines, and you know, without every week, you know, having everything hanging on a week by week basis.
That's
if you have 3 days a week, you can play with a little bit more. You can kind of put in lighter things that might not work all the time because people are like waiting another week for the next update. So we want to develop the characters and make them work, and you know, kind of just go back to more of the punchline driven stuff, which we kind of went away for a little bit, and kind of make the characters have some fun with them. We got some, you know, we got silly things that are going to happen with Andy, Ramon and Rob, as the characters on us, obviously, and make it happen where, like, you know, like dating sprees, and there's one storyline where, you know, my character will, you know, encounter a porn studio in his building, and some weird tangents will happen there, and this is all based on reality. I was walking out of my home one day, and lo and behold, there's this porn studio around the corner from me.
Did you try to walk in on the filming?
Well, no, I was walking down the hallway, and I hear this very, you know, orgasmic kind of scenario going on. I'm like, wow, someone's having a good time.
Guys, scenario, eh?
I just hear these moans and groans, and I'm like, oh, this is outrageous. And then I hear, and cut. You know, and I was like, cut. And I'm like listening, like just standing by this door listening, and I hear the director going off, and I'm like walking out of the building, and I run into my superintendent. And I'm like, yeah, I just walked out and I heard this. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's a porn studio. I'm like, there's a porn studio.
It's
like rock,
fantastic.
Rock and roll.
So if this like comic thing doesn't work out for you, I guess you have a new career in, I guess,
porn. That's
right. Porn.
Yeah, they already have my headshots. Yeah. But, yeah, so we have, like odd things like that where we just go, oh, my God, that's like there's so many possibilities we can take that, you know, so we're going to... Kind of like there's kind of all kinds of little kind of scenarios like that that have kind of, you know, spawned various ideas that have been written down that haven't been attended to yet. So over the next year, we hope to kind of just really push the limits, you know, get ourselves out there a little bit more, push the characters and make it a little bit more kind of raunchy, I guess, if you will. We've kind of played it safe for a while, so I think we just want to get out there and get back in touch with what the squash was all about originally. So I think
the raunch.
The raunch, the stupidity, the machismo, whatever you want to call it. It's just, you know, guys being guys and having fun, and you know, but being honest about it, and, you know, and quickly poking fun at ourselves at the same time.
Speaking of raunch, She's My Kind of Girl. Is that
Oh yeah.
What's to say? It's kind of a how'd you get that started?
That was many of us do. We used to have a thing. Like, obviously, you've seen that hasn't been updated in months, I think. But it began as on Fridays, most of the time in the studio when we're not as crazy busy as we are now. We'll have like a little draw. We call it Girl Friday. You know, so just draw a pinup girl. You know, just something to kind of chill out. And it's not work. A work obligation. It's not anything. So. That kind of spawned that website saying, we have all these great pinups, you know, why not give them a home kind of thing and get them out there and just have somewhere to showcase them. So that's essentially how She's My Kind of Girl came along. And that's all the pictures on there are most of our Girl Friday sketch-offs. And though a handful of, I think, 8 or 9 of mine on that site are actually from an ad campaign I did for a porn company about a year ago or 2 years ago.
I think for the porn companies.
They fell in my lap. They called me up.
Wow.
They're like, hey, you want to draw pretty girls? I'm like, how can I say no? Come on.
Wow, I was going to have a joke about the site being a thing for lonely guys on Friday nights, but you really killed it right there.
No, we deliver during the day, then we go out on Friday night.
So the Green River Killer Project, you're working on that alongside Jeff Jensen, the son of the original investigator on the Green River project.
Yeah.
How'd you land that gig?
That came through Sierra, my editor at a dark horse, and I'd met Sierra about a year before and gave her my portfolio. She knows many of the guys in our studio, and we hung out with her at various cons.
I'm sorry, just it cut out for a second there.
Oh, yeah, okay. We met at various conventions. I gave her my portfolio. So she just called me up one day, and she kind of teased me with an offer. She's like, hey, would you be interested in working on this kind of crime, true crime noir kind of book? And I'm like, oh, that's one of my passions. Like, one of my first story idea for Transmission X was actually a crime noir, which I ended up shelving. And so I was like, oh, this might be an opportunity to do that as a warm-up, you know, like kind of like, you know, I'd play in that kind of, you know, field before I kind of jump into my own crime noir in the future. So, and she kind of, you know, once I kind of expressed interest in it, she kind of laid down the actual story, and she sent me the outline of the book and the first, the prologue script for the story. And it was, I sat down and read it, and rather quickly, and I was hooked. I was like, this is amazing. Like, it was some of the best comic scripting I'd read in ages, and it sucked me in. And the fact that these were real people, the stories of real people that I was kind of peering into, you know, even added that much more visceral quality to the script. Like, it really sung to me. And you know, then talking to Jeff afterwards and learned that he's the actual son of, you know, the investigator who hunted down Gary Ridgway over the years and, you know, finally caught him over a 20-year period. And, you know, I couldn't put it down, like I said, and I quickly jumped on it.
Novel promises to be a behind-the-scenes look at the events.
Yes.
Did you have to do a lot of reference and research for this? Because, like, look at crime scene photos, that kind of thing?
I did go to Seattle earlier this year, and I met with Jeff and his father. And his father took us around to various sites where bodies were found and talked to us about the investigation. And I got to see their home, and I got to see the place where, like, the actual story takes place over the first 5 days or 4 days, I can't recall exactly, of the capture of Gary Ridgway. So it's very much the kind of deconstruction of him as, you know, as he was those first 4 days of interrogation. And it's a lot of flashbacks are involved in the story and stuff like that.
Continue.
Okay, and so anyway, so I got to see videos of a lot of these talks, and I saw some crime scene photos of the various sites and stuff like that. So it was very much, I got to see some really gritty stuff and hear some gritty stories from Jeff's father himself.
So when can we expect it out, actually?
I believe, I was talking to Sierra the other day, and I believe they're looking at a fall 2010 release. Probably solicited sometime in the midsummer, I think.
You've got a lot on your plate right now with two active webcomics, the Big Green Killer project. How do you kind of balance them all out?
I work a lot. I have a Green River. I also have a monthly comic I do for Owl Magazine called Max Finder. I have the Green River and the two webcomics. And I also have other odd jobs that float my way as well. And it just comes down to just trying to time manage. Like, I have days devoted. When things are going smoothly, I have, like, you know, every Monday I work on, you know, Kookaburra. Every, you know, Tuesday I work on Butternut. And then Wednesday is devoted to corporate work. Thursday as well, and then Friday maybe I go back and I do scripting, you know. So it's, I, when things work out ideally, that's how I break it down. I kind of devote days of the week to certain projects, and when things aren't working out so smoothly, it's a juggling scenario where you're like 3 hours, okay, I'm gonna go and work on that, and then 2 hours I'm gonna go jump on this project, and excuse me, and so hopefully, you know, like, I've been working towards kind of fine-tuning my schedule. I've actually began turning down work because I think it's an old freelancer habit where you're always trying to make sure there's money in the coffers, so you're always jumping on the next job no matter how busy you are. And next thing you know, you're like last, when Kookaburra and Butternut went on hiatus last year around this time, because I was literally juggling 12 contracts over 3 months. And I was like, I don't know how I even look back right now, and I look back, and I'm like, I don't know how I accomplished the amount of work I accomplished in those 3 or 4 months, you know, and then the recuperation period since, and then eventually Cuckoo Bird came back online, and then Butternut suffered a little bit longer because it took more time for Rob and I to get able to kind of find the time to kind of hook up and, you know, bang out some ideas. But, yeah, so, you know, I've been kind of really trying to focus more of late on trying to keep the projects down to a minimum. So right now I'm at 4, and that's more than enough to keep me busy. And, you know, 2 of them are on my own, and 2 are for corporate clients. So, you know, as long as I keep them happy and I pay my rent, I have time to work on my own stuff as well. And, you know, maybe eventually I can pare it down to 3, and then eventually just 2. You know, maybe eventually just my own stuff, whether it be the crime book or Kookaburra or Butternut or one of the other dozen ideas I have lying around in my little black book that wants to get kind of illustrated one day.
For your drawing, what kind of materials do you use?
I'm pretty traditional for the most part. I usually mix up the materials between, I mean, like, depending on the look of the project I'm working on. So, for example, with Green River Killer, it's very much I'm using a very loose brush style. So it's India ink with sable brush. Whereas Kookaburra, I wanted a very clean, crisp style. So that's all inked by using Staedtler fine liners, like just like little markers. And I've also used quill in the past, so it really just depends on the project. But I'm pretty much traditional. I don't do any inking digitally or anything like that. It's all brush, quill, or pens, and then I do all my coloring on the computer right now with Photoshop. Though I would like to actually get back into doing more traditional color. Before I got into comics, I used to do a lot more painting. And I would love to bring back a little bit more watercolor or gouache work into my stuff.
For a comic series, are you reading any, like, right now?
Right now, ongoing stuff, very little, actually. I'm reading Hellboy, the Fabretto illustrated Mike Mignola arc right now, and that's coming out rather slowly.
Yes.
But most of the mainstream stuff, I'm trying to think, it's kind of a blur for the most part. I pick up a lot of Immonen's books here and there and flip through them, but I've been buying a lot of actually old collections, like the Creepy and Eerie collections being put out by Dark Horse.
Oh, those massive hardcover hard guys?
Yeah, I've been really going back into a lot of that stuff. You know, I picked up Mazzucchelli's new book, I'm blanking the name right now. Asterios Polyp. And that was a phenomenal book, and Darwin Cook's adaptation of The Hunter as well. So I've been kind of leaning more towards larger collections or just new kind of graphic novel kind of. I don't really collect much on a monthly basis anymore. Usually, you know, the last thing I was collecting on that respect was like 100 Bullets.
Which recently finished its run in single issues.
Exactly, yeah. So it's a lot of the stuff I was collecting has actually wrapped up. So I'm kind of without any ongoing stuff for the most part. You know, I'll pick up a random issue here and there. Like, I picked up an issue recently of Batman and Robin with Gorilla Grodd. Or, sorry, not Batman and Robin, Batman and Superman. The Gorilla Grodd, where he takes over, I guess, a future alternative story or something like that, which was kind of a lot of fun. But, yeah, it's mostly just whatever I catch my eye on the shelf. I really don't read anything regularly anymore.
Right. Any advice for those who are hoping to get into the comic book industry?
I think it's the cheesiest advice you always hear, but it's just, you know, keep drawing and perseverance. Like, you know, it's part is talent, but part is putting yourself out there and talking to people and going to these shows and networking and, you know, meeting, you know, shopping your portfolio around, but also making those social connections that, you know, hopefully pay off, you know, in a future respect.
Right. Well, thanks for your time today, Ramon. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, it was great. Thank you very much.
Well, we hope to talk to you again once the Green River Killer book comes out.
Oh, yeah. Please drop me a line anytime, man.